Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The food supply in the U.S. is constantly evolving. U.S. consumers want convenience, choice, and diversity in the foods they eat. The U.S. is importing more food than ever before in order to meet these demands. Food production has become more globalized, and the route it takes from farm to table is more complex. Much of our food now takes a longer, more complicated path from the farm to our table. And yet most Americans purchase food for their family's dinner table with a high level of assurance that the food is safe. Much of the effort for securing the U.S. food supply rests on the work of the Food Safety and Inspection Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. FSIS is the public health regulatory agency responsible for the safety of the U.S. meat, poultry, and processed egg product supply. For over a century, the agency has worked to ensure that America's food is safe from contamination. The vital services of the FSIS have and continue to touch the lives of almost every citizen every day in America. FSIS is accountable for protecting food for over 300 million Americans and millions more around the world. What are the strategic priorities of the USDA's Food and Inspection Service? How is FSIS ensuring the country's food is safe and uncontaminated? And how is FSIS leveraging technology and innovation to meet its mission? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Alfred Almanza, Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Al, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Also joining us from IBM is Lisa Yarborough. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Al, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you could give us an overview of the history and mission of USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service.
Okay, well, FSIS is a public health agency at USDA, or the United States Department of Agriculture, that's responsible for ensuring that the nation's commercial supply of meat, poultry, processed eggs, and now catfish, whether domestic or imported, is safe, wholesome, and correctly labeled.
So, when you think of that mission, how is your agency organized? What's the scale and size of its operation, your portfolio, and maybe give us a sense of the geographical footprint and size of your budget?
Right. So we have about 9,000 employees, more or less about 1,000 in headquarters here in D.C. and the surrounding area. We have 10 district offices across the country in Alameda, California, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Des Moines, Jackson, Mississippi, Philadelphia, Raleigh, and Springdale, Arkansas. Those are our field operations district offices. And we also have inspection personnel in all the establishments that either slaughter or process any of the products that we regulate, which, again, would be meat, poultry, or processed eggs.
Al, would you tell us more about your specific role as Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety? What are your specific responsibilities and duties, and how does your effort support USDA's overall mission?
As Deputy Undersecretary and Acting Administrator, I'm responsible for making sure that the agency functions effectively and that it implements the best new food safety inspection approaches that are in the market. In the Deputy Undersecretary role, I'm responsible for ensuring that USDA is effectively carrying out its food safety mission, which plays right into what USDA as a whole does, and looking out for ag and inspection type activities within our scope and our mission.
So, Al, regarding your duties and responsibilities as the leader of the food safety effort for ag, what are your, say, three top management challenges, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
That's a good question. Modernization is one of the key things that I'm dealing with. Inspection, like moving inspection to a more automated type science-based approach. That's one of the key things when I first came in, we were all paper, obviously, 38 years ago, or as people in the agency say, you've almost been there 40 years. I'm like, eh, don't use 40 years quite yet. But nonetheless, that transition and trying to have tools for our inspection work, a workforce to be able to capitalize on the data that they're catching or capturing every single day, communicating effectively to the field. That's another, what I would say, challenge, because we do have approximately 3,000 employees that work in slaughter plants that do slaughter inspection every day that we can't communicate with, what I would say, electronically. They don't have access to our computers and things of that nature. Now we're trying to mediate that and trying to find ways to do that. But still, we have a new program called iImpact, which is going out to all our field employees. In fact, I was just at a training seminar earlier this week in Dallas, Texas, where they are training the trainers to go out and reach out to every single employee that works on the slaughter line to show them how they fit into the agency's mission. I hate to take credit for it, but it was something that I felt that was necessary to show basically our inspection workforce how they fit into our strategic plan and how what they're doing is very, very important to not only the American public but to the world, because our food supply is so global that it's not just the United States anymore. The third thing is improving efficiency. I would say PHIS, our public health information system, which again is the electronic method for us capturing data of every single task that our employees capture every single day as they're performing tasks in these establishments.
Al, along with the challenges you've encountered leading such a critical mission support portfolio can also be fraught with unanticipated or unexpected surprises. To that end, what has surprised you most since taking on your current role?
As I was saying, the shift from paper to data. Data is so significant and important, and yet the way we use the data to make decisions based in science, obviously, because that's one of the key things that I believe the American public knows very little about. So here we are. We have all these inspectors and veterinarians that are in our workforce, and they're going about their daily duties every single day, performing food safety tasks in all these establishments. Well, I would venture to say that not very many people are aware of the extent of that and that we're there and inspecting every single animal that's slaughtered for food, because people tend to think that much of that is done in other ways. And so it is very labor intensive, but to the credit of our employees, I do believe they do a very effective job. But that shift has created some issues as well. As we all know, when you have these new IT systems, they're not as seamless as we would like for them to be. Mm-hmm. And so we have had some challenges with the data and getting all the data. We're almost to the point where we can now analyze that data that we're getting and looking at it in ways to improve even more how our employees use the data. And I think that's going to be what I would say the next chapter for accumulating those mountains and mountains of data that we're able to gather.
So, Al, I'd like to know a little bit more about yourself. Could you give us a sense of your career path? And how did you begin your career? And what brought you to your current leadership roles, I should say?
That's an interesting question. My dad was a food inspector, and so he said, why don't you take the test for civil service to be a food inspector? And this is right after my junior year in college. And I was a little bit burnt out on the books, I would say. So I decided to try that. Actually, a funny story. When back then, what would happen was you would take a civil service test. And you would get a card in the mail whether you passed or you failed. And then locations to which you were being offered a position for. So I get this card in the mail, and my dad says, don't worry about it. I'll fill it out for you. Well, about 3 days later, I get this frantic call from this woman that I'll never forget her name. Her name was Blanche Zillman, worked in the Dallas regional office back then. And she said, do you really want to go to Dalhart, Texas? And I said, I suppose. Why? And she said, because we can't get anybody to go there. And so I asked my dad, I said, why why did you sign me up for going to Dalhart, Texas? He said, well, if you can survive there for a year, you can survive anywhere. I worked there for about a year. That plant closed down. And really something fortunate happened when that plant closed down is that I didn't have a duty station, and so they sent me out on relief. So I got to work in multiple establishments. So I got to learn a lot. I got to meet a lot of inspectors, a lot of veterinarians. And so when it came time to apply for promotion, that helped me. So I got to move back to San Antonio as a GS-8 about 3 years into my career. And very quickly, probably a year later, I got to move to a GS-9, which is basically inspecting plants that are a little bit more complex. Here I was 5 years into my career, and I was already achieving what I thought would be my lifetime goals. And quite frankly, I had a very good friend and a supervisor, Dr. George Martin. He, at one time, he'd been the veterinarian at the White House under Lyndon Johnson's presidency. And he asked me, he said, what are your career goals? And I said, well, I'm here. I'm in San Antonio. And he said, well, home is where you make it. You can do a lot more with your career than just being in San Antonio. And so he really prodded me into taking a management position in Austin, Texas. And so I did that for a year and then moved back to San Antonio as a GS-10. From there, there was a position that came open in Dallas, Texas as a labor relations specialist. And I had been involved in the union. I had held various offices in the union as a field inspector. And then we restructured. So we went from 5 regional offices and 28 areas to 18 districts. So I applied for a deputy district manager position, which was at the time a GS-14. I had to go back, get some more regulatory experience, and then applied when the district manager retired and the deputy district manager was promoted to the district manager. And so I was promoted to that position. And then he retired only after a year after I'd been there, and so then I was promoted to district manager as a GS-15. So that's kind of how I got to that level. And then I got a call from our undersecretary, and he asked me, he basically said, we're looking for an administrator. And I said, that's great. When you find one, let me know and I'll come help him. He said, no, we want you to come do that. Here I am 9 years later, except for, as I said, Secretary Vilsack. He's been great to me. He's done a lot of things for me, and he had the confidence in me to place me in the deputy undersecretary position a little over 2 years ago. And so I currently am still the acting administrator and deputy undersecretary and, for all purposes, acting undersecretary.
Many hats. And given your experience, Al, what core leadership lessons would you like to share with us? And more importantly, who has inspired your leadership approach?
That's a great question. In that I believe that having people around you that are smart, that are dedicated and have a vision for leadership, to me, those are just core qualities that help. As I've said many, many, many times, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, because when you work in a team environment, and I am extremely fortunate, I have medical doctors that work for me. I have microbiologists that work for me. I have all these experts around me that I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. But they fuel that energy and that passion that, to me, food safety is something that you either have a passion for or you don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's fairly easy for someone to lead a program area or a mission if they have that passion. And to me, I believe that just rings through in the entire organization of FSIS.
What are the strategic priorities of the USDA's Food and Inspection Service? We will ask Alfred Almanza, Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety at USDA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.